if Jesus was standing before you right now, what would you be thinking? If Jesus was standing here instead of me, what would you think? You'd say, wow, huh? If there's one thing in your life today, you would say to the Lord, I want you to change this about me. I want you to change this in me. What would it be? One thing. One thing. I believe everybody in the building's got at least one thing that comes to our mind when you hear a question like, what would you say to Jesus if he was standing right here, and he is here in spirit? If Jesus was here, Jesus is here. One thing you would say to him this morning, not about the world, not about Africa, not about India, not about our own country, not about your family, about you. One thing. Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I want you to change me in this area. Might be a sin you're struggling with, might be an attitude, might be, I don't know what it might be. One thing you would say to the Lord, I want you to change me. I want you to help me. You're going to have an opportunity to do that here in just a few minutes. As I looked over some of these scriptures, I started just to have an altar call and not say much of anything. But I believe I'll say a few things. You might get out in record time. We'll just see what the Lord has in store. Change. Before homecoming, I started talking about change a little bit. We talked about the renewing of our mind. Be transformed. Think differently. Allow the Lord to get a hold of our mind. It's a great battlefield, our mind. Would you agree with that? Say, Lord, I want you to come. I want you, Holy Spirit, your presence she was singing about here. Come, help my mind. And we talked about the renewing of our mind, and we talked about how we need to change the way we think, how we think about ourselves. We need to get in the Word and see what God says about us and how we're to think about ourselves. Not too high and prideful, and not too low with such low self-esteem that we can't function, but on the field and the way that God would have us to think about ourselves, and then about others. How the mind, how we think about other people, we should see them as Jesus sees them. And then we went on to talk about the church. How are we to think about the church this day and time? It's not just some maintenance program. It's not just an option that I'll show up every now and then when I want to. But the church is the greatest institution on the face of the earth, and it needs proper place in our lives. The church, how do we think about it? Just something out there? I want you to look with me this morning at 2 Timothy 2. It's on the screen. It says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble, or however you pronounce that. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Vessels. There's in a large house, there's articles or vessels of gold and silver, he says, and wood and clay. Now, these vessels that he speaks of here, he's not talking about Christian and non-Christian. That's not the comparison. He's dealing with Christians in this part of Scripture. So, as Christians, are we vessels of honor? Some are vessels of honor and some are vessels of dishonor? Surely not. Surely that couldn't be. So, what makes us one or the other? What determines if I'm a vessel of honor or dishonor? Determined how we handle our vessel. How we handle our vessel. When God looks at us, does he see gold and silver? Or does he see wood or clay or sometimes just an old styrofoam cup? This vessel that you are you gold today and silver? Or are you just a styrofoam cup? Some days I feel like an old styrofoam cup. Yesterday was one of them. Ill for no reason at all. Maybe one or two reasons. But just ill yesterday evening. Am I the only one that gets that way? Probably not. Blessed by God. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Blessed beyond measure. And just simply ill. Well, now how's that work? Was the Holy Spirit in control? Oh, goodness. Just ill. That's not a good feeling for me. I don't like to be ill. Do you like to be ill? I know very few people that want to. Do you ever act that way? Get aggravated? I question myself a lot and I said, Lord, that needs to change. That needs to change. My attitude was not good. Lord, change my attitude. So, did the Lord see me as gold and silver or an old styrofoam cup? What kind of vessel am I anyway? God says, I want a clean vessel and a pure vessel to be used. That's the kind of vessels I want to use. If you have guests over after a while for dinner or what have you, you'll put out your fine china maybe. You have a special occasion. You'll dress the place up a little bit and people are coming over and you'll put out the best plates or what have you. It's that ideal of sanctification to allow God to purify our vessel that he can use us. We don't want to be vessels of dishonor. You got guests coming today, you're going to put out dirty dishes? You're not going to put out dirty dishes. You're going to put out clean, the best vessels that you have there. And we want to be a vessel of honor to the Lord. So we got to make a choice to be pure. 2 Timothy 2:21 puts the emphasis on us, says if a man purges himself, is one version. If a man purges himself, if he looks into his own heart. Romans 12, one on the screen, says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I'm urging you in the view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, I'm going to use a dirty word in a sermon. So the preacher's going to say a nasty, dirty word. Okay, you ready? It's a dirty word. The world says it's a dirty word anymore, and that word is discipline. Oh, it's a dirty word. That's a nasty word this day and time. Discipline. We don't have any disciples because we don't have any discipline. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, think about it a while. If we don't have any discipline, we don't have any disciples. The Bible says, I want you to flee temptation. God says, I want you to be pure and holy. I want to present your bodies to me, a living sacrifice. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Avoid every kind of evil. Flee the very presence of evil, the Bible says. Get rid of it. Get away from it. Don't do the evil, but flee the very presence. The very presence of evil. Get away from it. Run away from it. Don't run toward it. Don't hang out with it. Don't play with it. Run from it. Every form of evil. Don't stand around and see what happens. Change in the mind. We talked about a week or two ago, a couple of weeks back. We talked about change, being transformed. Our minds need to be transformed. They need to be changed. They need to be upon the Word of God. And now today it seems like we're talking about the body. He says, I want you to present your body as a pure vessel unto the Lord. So you start thinking about the mouth as part of the body. And that little tongue, the Bible says, who can tame it? And then you think about the things we say, and he says here, refrain from arguments. And don't use your mouth to be destructive, but be instructive and that kind of thing. So I got home late Friday, and I got up early Saturday. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you a story. Had a good day. Had a good prayer breakfast. The men did. Good meal, good prayer. Four of us took off to Camp Dixon for a state meeting talking about church health, and it was really good. An enormous amount of information. It'll take me a while to process it. It's a lot of it. And halfway through, I just didn't want to be there. I just determined it's time for me to go. I'd heard enough. And I thought, well, now what are you doing? What are you having those thoughts? And if I thought I could have got by with it, I'd have just left. But then there was three other people representing our church, and we wanted to learn something. And I'm thinking, I want out of this place. And I said, Lord, what is wrong with my thought process here? Anyway, I stayed. Good stuff. We'll process it. Hope to talk to you more about church health and the good things that was there. So I came home. And got home about 5, and everything's lovely, and I had an expectation that was not met. I wanted our whole family to eat together, and two of them couldn't come, couldn't get here in time. So I'm not mad at the two, but I wanted them here. So I was disappointed that they were not here. So the rest of us go to eat, and we get to this place. And I'm there, and everything's okay, I guess, you know, hanging around. And we go in and give you the buzzer, you know, the routine. And we're there, and we're there, and we're there. And we're there, and we're there, and we're there. And we're still there. And I asked the lady, I said, can you tell me what the problem is? Booths all over here, empty. They didn't have enough help, and they didn't have a manager that knew what he was doing. That's the bottom line. Now, preacher, watch your mouth. You're talking about the mouth. The truth's the truth, but I'm getting to my point here in a minute, what I did. And I walked up, and I said, can you tell me how long we will have to continue to wait? She said, no, I can't tell you. I thought, you can't tell me. And I was so aggravated. And I mean, above what I should be. Christian? Yeah. Saved? Yeah. Filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. A godly person? Well, I sure think so. Well, why are you so aggravated, Ron? Well, I don't know why I was all that aggravated, but I just run all over me, people say. You can't tell me why. No, I can't tell you how long it's going to be. I got 3 large parties ahead of you. Now, we've been here all that time. And we still got 3 large parties before you ever get in. Tables here, tables there. Just don't get it. So I call another place. I was ready to go somewhere else. And all of a sudden, that table right here just gets cleaned off. I'm ready to leave, and they said, well, we're going to seat you right here. Why didn't you do that 50 minutes ago? Aggravated. And in one of those times, she whirled around, and she said, I'll seat you at different tables, different booths. Here's what I did wrong. I said, we want to sit together. Just about like that. And it was hateful, and it was wrong. All right? Bless him. That's right. Bless him. And all of a sudden, the kids and the wife look at me like I had killed somebody. I mean, just shot somebody. And I thought, well, I don't know what I did here exactly, but it couldn't have been that bad. And Judy said, "Did you hear the way you talked to her?" I said, "Well, I guess I did." You can't tell. Oh, that's enough of that, I guess. If I take a family out to eat, I want to sit together, lady. I don't want three of them over here and four of them over here. We're together. We want to eat together. It still aggravates me. Lord, help me. So, all of a sudden, just poof, somebody realizes we can sit right here. And we get over there. And I'm sitting there, and just as sure as I'm sitting there, Holy Spirit said, "Go apologize." And I thought to myself, now if that isn't something, if that isn't something. Holy Spirit, Madeline, you hit it. Madeline, you hit the nail on the head. It's what we need, what I need, we all need it. So I got up. And I said to the little lady there, I said, "You know, I snapped at you, and I had no right to do it. And I'm telling you I'm sorry, and I'm asking you to forgive me." And she kind of looked at me with her eyes just twirling around. There, kind of like, here he comes again, I guess. I don't know. But I said, "I'm serious." And she said, "Oh, it's all right, it's all right." And I said, "No, listen to me. I'm telling you, I'm sorry." You know, she's just going to brush it off. It's just another night. It's just another knothead. It's just another whatever. But no, because the Holy Spirit said, "You apologize." She had to hear me, not just brush it off and say, "Well, that's another customer." So I said, I want you to hear me. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me." She said, "Okay, yeah, it's okay." Well, I went back and went on to eating and enjoyed the evening. And I was still aggravated. No reason. This eel is a hornet. And I said, "Lord, I apologize to the woman. Can I be set free?" And it was just like, okay, you did the right thing, but you're still just as ill as you can be. And I knew it. And I said, "Well, I'm tired. Well, I'm this. Well, I'm..." And so a lot of that is true, but no excuse. So I decided to lock myself up in the cage. No, I just went to the bedroom, did what I needed to do, and went to bed. The mouth. He says, "I want you to be transformed. I want you to restrain from arguments. And this foolishness here that you can get into, as the scripture says, I don't want you to cause pain with your mouth. I want you to bring blessings with it," other scripture says. And I sure didn't do that. So I got that straight with the little lady. I went to Sunday school this morning, and Barry was teaching a short lesson. And you know what he told me? That Jesus had unconditional love toward me. And I thought about just speaking up and telling this little story, and I thought, I'll just save it for later. I shouldn't be telling it. I don't want to tell it on myself, Lord. Do I have to? Yeah, it'll fit, so go ahead and tell it. And Barry said, "Jesus loves you unconditionally." Do you believe that? Now, yes, there's things we have to do to go to heaven, to be saved. I have to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And I have to live for Him if I want to go to heaven. But Jesus has unconditional love. And I'm glad that He does. Now, I can choose to be saved or choose to be lost. And my choice will determine my eternity. My choice, what to do with that unconditional love, will either get me to heaven if I ask to be saved and live for the Lord, or if I ignore it, yes, He will still be loving me, but I will make the choice if I do not surrender my life to Him and will end up in a hell for eternity. if I would choose not to serve the Lord. But the Lord loves you. You see, Jesus loved me when I was ill with that lady. And when I seemed to feel the presence of God and seemed to feel the Holy Spirit all in me and around me, and when I feel like shouting, and when I can say to God be the glory for the things He has done. To God be the glory. By His blood He has saved me. And we could sing that song and have a good time. To God be the glory. And you just feel the presence of God. And you're in His presence in a service or in your devotional time or a quiet time or whatever. And it's just, yes, 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 this is it. Heaven's got to be like this. Jesus loves me then. And Jesus loves me when I smart off to the little lady with my mouth being rude. But we have responsibilities, even though Jesus loves us. We carry through and say we're sorry or what have you. How many of you here have had your mouth washed out with soap? Really now, don't. Ooh. Down here in the South, they really do it. They do it. Good. I don't think I've ever had that. But you remember the day maybe your mom or dad, evidently some of you remember it, grandparents, somebody, because that was a lot of hands, more than I thought. Wash your mouth out with soap because you messed up. I want you to be changed. I want you to be transformed. I want you to think godly things. I want the mind to be transformed. I want you to be thinking on things that are pure and good and honest. And I want your mind to be changed, to be transformed, Jesus says. And He says, I want your body to be in order too. The mouth, the hands. Paul deals with the hands when he writes to Timothy, and he says, I want you to be able to lift up holy hands before the Lord. Who can approach God? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. Want that heart to be pure, your hands to be pure, your mouth, and how you respond to people. So what are you doing with your hands? I hope what you're doing with them glorifies God. 1 Thessalonians on the screen, 4. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that is this matter. No one should wrong his brother, take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects the instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 on the screen. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be changed. I want the mind. Be in the Word of God. The Word of God will help change, will make new, will create what needs to be the thought pattern. The Word of God will help you with that. I want your body to be what it needs to be and used for the way it needs to be, because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So God desires us to handle our bodies in a sanctified manner, an honorable manner. He says, I want you to flee from temptation. I want you to use your hands for good, not to do harm. And your vessel, I want it to be gold and silver, not an old styrofoam cup. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. I want you to live that way. That's the instruction He's given us here. I want you to be transformed, the mind, and the body. Earlier, I said to you, if Jesus was standing here, and you could say to him, I want you to change this one thing about me, what would it be? Now, you know, I'm not real proud to tell you that little story. It's not the end of the world. You know, people, we can justify things and say, well, people did worse than that. Probably some of them sitting out there did worse than I did yesterday. That's that human thing. Didn't matter what any of y'all did yesterday. What mattered is I messed up and had to apologize. I had to do what was right for me. If Jesus was standing here, you could say, I want you to help me with one thing. Not my family, not the country, not Africa, not whatever, not this, not that. Me, Lord, me. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You remember that old song? Me, Lord, me, Ron. I want you to change this about me. I want you to help me in this area of life. What would it be? I invite you today, whether you do it in a pew or whether you come to an altar and spend some time with God, whatever the Holy Spirit brought to your mind that needs to change, struggling with a certain sin, struggling with an attitude, struggling with what have you, but it came to your mind and you know what it is. All of us do. See, there's nobody left out. There's nobody on a pedestal. There's nobody that don't ever have a struggle. We all do. Now, what's that one thing? Jesus, I want you to help me with this one thing. Jesus, I want you to change this. Help me in this area of life. If you come right over here in front of this piano, I'll not bother you. You'll be alone with God. People won't come. If you come over here, you're signaling to me, I want you to come and pray with me, and I'll be glad to. We're on a journey. We're serving God. We're learning. We're growing. We were saved whenever, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. Saved by the blood of Christ, living for Him. Stumble a little bit, stump your toe or whatever, make a mistake, even sin. And now's the time. Say, God, help me. And He will, because He loves you. Would you stand with me? Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus to change us. Now, Lord, there's one thing in all of our lives we need help with, probably a lot more than one, but there's at least one. And Father, I have much. To be thankful for. I have much love for my Father in heaven, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How You've blessed me. How You have redeemed me. And I thank You and I praise You for Your goodness. And I thank You, Holy Spirit of God, for loving and training and teaching and convicting. And maybe my little story seems silly to some about just going out to eat and being aggravated, but You said apologize. And I tried to listen and do what You said. Madeline sang so wonderfully about the Holy Spirit and how we need You to overwhelm us, how we need You to come and teach us. So, Lord, we're a very blessed and thankful people, but we're still growing. And we desperately need you. May all of us gathered here sense the sweet Spirit of God. May we sense the love of Almighty God. May we say we're sorry when we need to you and to other people. And whatever you have spoken to everyone here, Holy Spirit of God, help us to have the courage to come to an altar or in our pew and say, Lord Jesus, change this. Help me with this. We're thankful that you love us, and we ask you to do a work in us just now as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.